with everything going on this week and everything that you're not told that's going on, and the George Zimmerman Trayvon case has been going endlessly on television, which then gives everyone who wants to do something and not get in the news plenty of time to do it and not get noticed. And I thought, last time I turned on the television, and there it was. Now we're having a panel discussion on the judge and the jury, and I said, enough is enough. And so this Sabbath, I thought I would cover the most important thing we need to be doing. Because whenever distractions come along, such as this, whatever other distractions come along, we need to get our minds on why we are here. And that in the final analysis, as we know from the Feast of Tabernacles, God has called us to personally assist him to straighten out the world. So now God is doing a tremendous and awesome thing that the world doesn't even know. So what we are going to cover today is, how do we develop the mind of Christ? Now let's start in the book of Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 66. And so again, with this psalm, we will see the purpose of God and how God himself always focuses on the purpose. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Of course, that is a millennial psalm as well. Sing forth the honor of his name, Psalm 66, verse 2 now. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. And as we saw last time, how fantastic just a grain of sand is. And oh, by the way, I got a picture of the black volcanic sand from Hawaii. And it is black with red and silver, magnified 250 times. So we'll soon be getting those pictures here, and I'm going to put them up on the wall. Yeah. Well, that certainly teaches us that even what we would consider the least thing can be made glorious by God. And everything in creation has his stamp upon it that he made it. Okay? Now, let's continue on, verse 3. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies submit themselves in obedience to you, and that day is coming. This is why today, nothing political, governmental, economic, education, or religion can change the things in the world. They have to be changed by God, because it takes the power of God. Look at how well this nation started out. Look at where we've ended up. Okay? Now, verse 4. All the earth shall worship you and shall sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. All right, come here to 65. Now, let's understand something concerning why we're here, where we're going. How did we get here? And to whatever troubles and circumstances, and every one of us got here because we were in trouble somewhere along the line. And men and women turn to God in their trouble. And God chooses those who turn to him in sincerity and in truth. Now notice, I want you to understand how special you are to God, especially when you see the whole world going crazy. Blessed is the one whom you choose. And what did Jesus say? I have personally chosen you. And caused to come near you. And we do that with prayer and God's Spirit. That he may dwell in your courts. the ultimate goal of being in the kingdom of God. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even your holy temple, by awesome works of righteousness, which God does. You will answer us. O God of our salvation, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of those of the distant sea. It's just like Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because we're going to be busy in doing that. Okay? Now, let's come here, continue on. Let's come to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Now, this is the way the world is right now. Psalm 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 2. The wicked in his pride pursues the poor. That sounds like the government today. Let them be taken in their schemes that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, but despises the Lord. Through the pride of his countenance, the wicked will not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no place for God. The exact opposite of the mind of Christ. Okay? Now, God has called us to some tremendous things that we need to understand. Let's look and see what Paul wrote concerning the mind of Christ. Let's come to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And as we're turning to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, let's also understand this, that it's really important to grasp. When Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison. And he was writing to the Philippians. Let's come over here to the first chapter first, and then we'll get to chapter 2. Notice what he writes here, beginning in verse 2. Because when he was in prison, he had the opportunity to write these, but it also tells you that even in the most dire of circumstances, he was always looking to the purpose, the goal. And so now he's writing a letter to them, not knowing when he's going to get out or if he will get out or whether he will be alive or dead. So he says to them, verse 2, chapter 1, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the best ways to be encouraged, if you're kind of down and out and a trial is afflicting you, read all the introductions of Paul's epistles. And you will see that he is calling you every time to come to God, because God has come to you. I thank my God in every remembrance of you, always making supplication with joy in all my prayers for you all. Good Southern term there. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now notice how he focuses on what needs to be. Being confident of this very thing. Now he could say, oh God, where are you? I'm here with these chains. Now I just got off a 1-year trip coming from Caesarea to Rome, and the ship was destroyed out from underneath us, and I was the only one there except for Luke with me, and maybe Timothy was with him. I don't recall. He didn't say, but we know that Luke was with him. And they were the only ones there. Took a whole year to get to Rome. Look at all the things that he went through. Okay? So what does he do? Verse 6, chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, and that awesome good work, as we're going to see, is the mind of Christ. And you say, what? Me? Little old me? Yes. Little old us. Every one of us. The world doesn't count us as anything. You know, I don't even know if they want to count us for the census, you know. Who knows? Okay. That he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, consider this. God who created the heavens and the earth, does he know how to start and finish certain things? Yes. If he begins it, will he complete it? Did he call us to success or to failure? He's called us to success. And that success is through his Spirit. And that success is through his Word. And another thing that's important to understand is this. In a couple of emails from Dwight Blevins, we were discussing the numbers in Revelation and 7 and all of those different things combined and so forth. And we were covering how much the number 7 is used in the book of Revelation. And I explained in my first email back to him was this. Daniel is like a lock. And what did God tell Daniel to do? Close the book. So it's locked. And I said, Revelation is like a key. And you need Revelation, which is the key, to go into the lock. So here's the conundrum for, number one, the Jews. They reject the New Testament, so they don't have the key. And the Orthodox Christianity rejects the Old Testament, so they don't have the lock. But you need both. Now, he also pointed out, which is true, that in the end time, the wise will understand and knowledge will increase, and we have all of that combined with the world, but also for the church and for what we can understand. We are able to understand things and put things together, not because we're anything, but because God said in the end time, the wise would understand, and the ones who are wise are those who love God and serve him the way that he wants and are called according to his purpose. And his purpose is an awesome work. Now, we go look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, oh, man. What is God going to do with this? He's not done. See? And it won't be finished until the resurrection. See? Now, come over here to chapter 2 and verse 1. Because we all need encouragement all the time, especially today. And watching that Zimmerman thing over and over and over and over and over. I know Dolores, she turned it off and turned on to her Westerns and her oldie but goodies because it was just over and over and over again. All of you right now can probably close your eyes and you can see George Zimmerman in vision. He's been on television so much. Okay? Now, another reason why we have the Sabbath. See, so we can learn, so we can grow, see? Verse 1, now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, notice, in Christ, if any comfort of love, that is from the Holy Spirit of God, if any fellowship of the Spirit, because our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ through the Spirit, if any deep inner affections and compassions fulfill my joy. Here I am in prison all, you know, way out here and different ones come to me, but I'm still in chains. And I don't know how you're doing. So I want to encourage you so that you do what you need to do. Okay? Fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind. Now we're going to see that's the mind of Christ or minding the same thing. Having the same love, being joined together in soul, minding the one thing. Now, what is the one thing? All right? What did Jesus say? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? What did he say? Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. See, two great finishing statements of the goal of why we're called. See, let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above himself. Take care of one another. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. And that's what we do, not only to us here, but in everything that we do. Consider this. Through God's plan of tithes and offerings and reciprocity, when you give, it goes out to serve others. And we're reaching a lot of people now, as the July letter will show you. And that's in addition to all of those who gather for fellowship groups. Now, we've had different groups that have gotten together, unknown to us. We didn't even know that they were getting together. And I got an email the other day from one of them, said, well, we've been getting together for 2 years and checking out everything. And so now they want some more things from us. Well, how did that happen? That happens because if we are seeking this, if we are properly preaching the gospel, if we are warning the world and preaching the things that God can use to call people, things like this will happen. And you will see in the statistics for the websites, we have increased well over 50% over last year, the first 6 months of the year. 94% on things downloaded. So that shows people are searching, people are seeking. Okay? So when you send in tithes and offerings, don't think, oh, woe is me. Think this, you are helping someone else. All right, let's go forward from there. Now, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, was Jesus thinking of us instead of himself? Was Jesus thinking on the plan of God instead of himself? Did he willingly give up everything he had? Yes, he did. All right, let's read it here. State this again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to let it come in through the power of God's Spirit, through study, through experience, through trials, through all the things that take place. Who, although he existed in the form of God, because he was God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That's why the first part of the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing came into being except that he created it and brought it into being. Now, if every atheist would read just the first three verses of the Gospel of John, first chapter, they would know that nothing came into existence through evolution. And I like the little comedy where this one atheist, you know, was talking about the Big Bang and everything, and then a voice out of heaven came and said, get your own Big Bang. Okay. Now here's what he did. He emptied himself. Now what does that mean? That means he divested himself of his power and glory. He gave up being 99.9% being number two in the Godhead. Okay? He came to dwell among men and women. He came to be born as an infant. And all of this so he would experience everything that we go through. And so that no one can say, God, you're up there in heaven. You don't know what it was like to be born. I'm lucky to be here. You know, whatever the situation may be. He did. See? Emptied himself. And furthermore, was made in the likeness of men. And men are, and women are made what? In the image and likeness of God. For the purpose of becoming as he is, and took the form of a servant. He didn't come down here and say, Well, now, I wonder what great nation I would like to be king over. No, the Greek there is doulos, slave. Now, how many people have been slaves in their lives? Well, a lot of them. Okay. What's the worst kind of slavery? Addiction to sin. A slave to Satan the devil. Okay. And being found in the manner of man. Now, that means everything that we have in our bodies, he had. Heart, lungs, you know, stomach, digestive, you know, everything like that. It even talks there one time when they were in their little ship coming across the Sea of Galilee, that he was asleep. Now, we also know from the prophecy in Isaiah 50 that God the Father personally taught him every morning. Being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself even further as a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And one-third of all the Gospels have to do with the events from his arrest, from his Passover, his arrest, and being judged and crucified. And you go back all the prophecies that he gave concerning that. He knew what was going to happen. That's why he prayed three times. Okay? Now, because, and the last thing he said before he died was, it is finished. So he did the work that God sent him to do, to be the redeemer of mankind. Now, because of this, verse 9, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, you take this one last verse here. Verse 11, every tongue, knowing what we know concerning the scriptures in the last great day, that means every tongue, past, present, and future. Now, what are we then to do? How then do we develop the mind of Christ? Let's see. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So one of the keys of developing the mind of Christ is this. You let the Spirit of God inspire you and motivate you, and you always keep at doing what you need to be doing spiritually, regardless of the circumstances around you. Regardless. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes you wonder, well, am I ever going to make it? Well, the answer is yes, because God's going to ensure that you will. Okay? And here's why. For it is God who works in you both to will. Now, God gives us the desire. So when you're all frustrated, don't know what to do, you go to God, say, God, I'm frustrated. Help me. Help me to overcome. And help me to have the desire and the will to do what you want me to do. And he will give it to you. And to do according to his good pleasure. Now then, notice verse 14. Do all things without complaints and disputes. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? So that, there's a reason for it, you may be blameless and without offense, innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And my, how that has been multiplied thousands of times over today, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, letting that be your guide, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Imagine what it's going to be like at the resurrection. Christ calls Paul forward and says, Paul, look at all of these who are here because of your epistles and what you wrote. I think it's going to be the greatest time, and it's going to be a fantastic rejoicing to be on that mammoth sea of glass with all the saints. And of course, we're going to be resurrected and all given a language we can communicate back and forth with each other. He's not going to send us back as an army in confusion. It's not going to be a Tower of Babel, okay? We're going to come back to this earth and undo that Tower of Babel, okay? And that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain, okay? But notice what he admitted. He admitted a little weakness here in his own circumstances. Verse 17. But if I am also poured out on the sacrifice and ministration of your faith, I am glad and rejoice together with you all. And you in the same way also are glad and rejoice together with me. Okay? Then he says he's going to send Timothy. So yes, Timothy was there with him. All right, that's quite a thing. Now, what is it that we need to develop? Okay? Come back here to 1 Corinthians 13. We covered the whole chapter recently. I just want to touch on something here in 1 Corinthians 13. Toward the last part of the chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and let's pick it up here in verse 7. Now, this whole chapter is a good chapter of instructions on how to overcome human nature. What do I need to do? Well, read this and see where you're deficient. Ask God to help you. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Didn't Christ do that? Yes, he did. Love never fails. It's never going to fail. It may look like it temporarily for a little bit of time, but it never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. So we don't get all excited about prophecies. If God gives us the understanding we need to understand them, that's fine. But you're not going to be saved by prophecy and the knowledge of it that you have. You're going to be saved by God, by the love of God, by the Spirit of God, and by your growing and overcoming. Whether there be languages, they shall cease. Yeah, we're going to be given a new one. How's that going to happen? Well, the best I can answer is this. Did God put in Adam and Eve a language when he created them? Yes. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And really, when you understand it, how much do we know? Boop. A little drop. Okay. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Right? That day's going to come. See? So here we are, you know, most of us here and also in video land out there, we're all marching toward the end of the line. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. We're getting more gray hair. I don't know if I can get any more or not. I may lose some, but, you know, who knows that? Okay. More wrinkles, weaker, all of that. Don't get discouraged. That's part of living. Rather, grow in grace and knowledge. That's what God wants. Okay? All of us would like to die like Israel died. Remember what happened? I think he was age 147. He called in Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he blessed them. And he was so old and wrinkled up and bent over that he was leaning on his staff. Then when he got done, he said, it's time to go, hopped in bed, died. Now, if we all went that way, that would be just fine. You know, kiss your wife goodbye and say, I'm leaving, honey. Take care. I'll see you on the sea of glass. See, so don't let those things worry you. If you have trouble remembering, understand this, it's still there. What has happened is that your recall has worn down a little bit. Okay? No. But when that which is perfect come, then that which is in part shall be set aside. We are going to shed this body and this mind, and we are going to then have a spiritual body and the mind of Christ. When I was a child, that's what we are, children of God. I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I set aside the things of a child. Okay? So he's drawing an analogy here. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now, what is that going to be like? That's why we have to spend some time on the sea of glass. You know, from Pentecost until trumpets, there's too much to do. You know? Wonder what it's going to be like to meet Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. How about Noah? Noah, how did you build that ark? Very carefully, my son. Okay. Now I know in part, but then I shall know exactly as I have been known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. All right. Now, let's see concerning the mind of Christ. Let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Philippians, the second chapter, has the mind of Christ. Colossians, the second chapter, or the first chapter, rather. Did I say second? Okay. No. Colossians 3, verse 1. You go over to Colossians, the first chapter. We'll go over there in just a minute. So notice what he tells them to do. And this is another letter he wrote close to the same time that he wrote Philippians. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, that means from the watery grave, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things that are above and not on the things on the earth. For you have died, the death of baptism, and your life has been hid together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also shall be manifested with him in glory. Again, pointing to the conclusion of the matter. All right, now come over here to chapter 1 and verse 26, just across the page there. Just slide your hand from right to left, verse 26. Even the mystery that has been hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, to whom God did will. Now think about that, the knowledge of God that you know. God has willed that you know it. Did will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And this is the secret of God. And the world doesn't know it, and the world cannot understand it. Okay? This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? That is by his Holy Spirit, by the very power of God. All right. Now let's see what this requires. So let's come back to Isaiah 55. And we will see what real conversion requires. Isaiah 55. And this is what we need to put in practice, keep in mind, and also that we need to preach, especially on church at home. And church at home is designed to reach out to those people who are disaffected with the current Christianity of this world. We don't want to have numbers for numbers. We need to put out a message that God will use for those he is calling. Okay? All right. Isaiah 55. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, and we have to be what? Concerning the word of God, hungering and thirsting for the word of God. Desiring God's spirit, desiring God's plan, desiring God's resurrection. Come to the waters, and the waters are what? The living waters that come from God, his Holy Spirit. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's allegorical of the word of God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? For you labor for what never satisfies. Hearken diligently to me. Listen to God. That's why we have the word of God. And isn't it something that how easy it is to set something aside? Okay? Diligently hearken to me and eat what is good. What does the psalm say? Come, taste and see. The Lord is good. That's the word of God. And let your soul be satisfied with fatness. Now that is the not that we all get fat. Wish that were the case. I mean, we'd be in good shape then, you know. And I hope that God has an instant, you know, weight reduction plan at the resurrection. We all desire that. Oh, Lord, send it now, you know. Okay. No, that means in the goodness and the richness and the fatness of God's way. And we have that today, don't we, with all the word of God. Bow down your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, covenant of eternal life. Even the sure mercies of David. For behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a prince and a commander of the people. Now that's also referring to Christ. Verse 5. Now notice how all of this ties in. I tell you what, the Bible is so full of what God's plan is. When you understand the plan and then you go back and read the things, it just leaps off the page. Notice verse 5. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, a nation that did not know, you shall run to because of the Lord your God, for the Holy One and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Now this is talking about us as the holy nation to operate under Christ to bring the kingdom of God to the world. This is something. Okay, let's go ahead and take a little break.